Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtrack.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Tokens Radio Show. Today is Sunday, April the 2nd. And we're coming to you live from KCNR in Redding, California. My name's Christy Matthews.
And I'm Linda Kett.
And hello, Liam. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. He's here to make sure that we have a smooth broadcast. You should see him. He was just whirling behind with the monitors and making conversions. And he was cooking in there a while
trying to
ago.
Get you guys
and my headphones just came on. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, like those 200 cuts we gave you, right?
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate everything
you do. We're working him today.
Working him. Well, if you missed any of our previous shows, they're available in our archives at TokensRadioShow.com. That's TokensRadioShow.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Telegram at Tokens Radio Show. And for those of you who'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 530-605-4567 or hop on into the chat room and leave us a comment. And the chat is open, waiting for you to make a comment.
Right. And just remember, if you're having a hard time on FM, you can always switch over to AM.
That's a good point. Yeah, it has.
It's not as good as far as the quality, but you can still, comes in pretty good.
Yeah, if it just all of a sudden goes away, go over to AM and there it will be.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it's been wompy for a while.
It's always during the winter time, it seems like. It just goes away. And so
it's
anyway.
The gremlins.
Well, Bitcoin's currently sitting at 27,993. Ethereum's at 1783. XRP has been on a run at 52 mm-hmm. cents, and XLM's at 10 cents. And I want to thank you for tuning in, and let's get going and play our first promotion, please.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Pearson Construction. Pearson Construction, Excavation, and Fire Cleanup are your post-fire cleanup and storm damage experts. With wildfires and winter storms continuing to devastate Northern California each year, their mission is to help fire and storm victims with all stages of post-fire cleanup, storm damage repair, and construction. We work with your insurance and county building division to guide you through every step of the process. Pearson Construction has been known as an all-inclusive builder, taking our clients' projects from beginning to end. They draw your building plans, pull your county permits, and prepare your building site, including all necessary underground work. Then we make all your dreams come true, building your custom home, including your barn. Contact Luke Pearson at Pearson Construction Excavation and Fire Cleanup at 530-605-9575 or at lpearsonconstruction.com.
All right, and we're back.
Yeah.
We're having a few issues here, but bear with us.
Stepping on the cord.
Yeah, you know, so we're choking ourselves a little bit and getting hung up, but it's all good.
Yes,
so
it is good. So what word are we going to chat about here?
We are going to talk about projection.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You kind of brought this to my attention, so I did a little bit of looking into it and trying to figure out how it works in the crypto world. But anyhow, so projection in the crypto world, God, I can't get that out, works almost like it does in traditional finance. You know, investors and analysts use financial projections to estimate the potential future value of a particular cryptocurrency or the overall cryptocurrency market. So that's, you know, just like the normal thing we do with, in the normal financial world. You know?
Right.
So, to make projections in the cryptocurrency world, and Alan, oh, I can't talk. All right. In the crypto world, they use various methods, such as technical analysis, fundamental analysis, or a combination of both. Technical analysis involves studying historical price charts, and identifying patterns or trends that can help predict future price movements.
And that can also be, I would imagine, a projection could be your friend that's sitting there and saying, hey, I just got into this wonderful coin, and it's going to go moon right now.
Yes, and you need to be part of it.
Projecting that it's going to happen.
Right.
And then there's a rug pull. But nonetheless, yes, projection on
Yeah, then your other friend says, you know what, not so much, not so quick.
Right. But and thank you so much for bringing up projection, because it's also brought up in the context of where we are today. You okay? The air is really dry in the studio right now. It's like you walk in and you almost, you just start coughing, obviously.
Do you want me to get you some water?
Oh, she's got some.
She's got water.
Thank you. So with
I'm so sorry about that.
So with projection, we're seeing a lot of, you know, projected FUD and projected truth. And what is what? So anyway, just leave that with you. And you have the technical definition of projection and also how it's being used to project an image onto you.
Excuse me. Yeah. So you can use it for good things.
Yes, you can.
For in the future with cryptocurrency, like you were saying earlier, you know, is it going to go up? Is it going to shoot to the moon? Hey, we've heard that about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into the news. I'll start off here. Give your voice a break there. So today we're going to begin with the de-dollarization of the world. And this is, first of all, the news stories are, it was unbelievable. We had to cut so many news stories to get started. I think we looked at 52. And many of them just didn't make it. So what we're going to talk about here today is the ones that we felt like were more relevant.
Right. And there was so many just this morning, too.
Yeah. Well, as I said, we're going to start with de-dollarization of the world. And it's something that affects us all. For decades, the U.S. dollar has been the world's reserve currency, but that's now changing. Countries like Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, also known as the BRICS nations, are challenging U.S. dominance by creating a political monetary counterweight to the United States. This means that new bilateral trade deals that bypass the dollar are being discussed all over the world. The BRICS countries and potential new members represent almost half the world, and they have a combination of landmass, population, and natural resources that make them a force to be reckoned with. Recently, China brokered a peace deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran, and who are two bitter historical enemies who want to join the BRICS alliance but can't if they're in undeclared war. If they stop competing and start cooperating, they could dominate the Middle East and raise China's clout in the region at the petrodollar's expense. Now, the United States is not happy about these changes, but it seems to have accepted that it can't reverse the trend. Well, of course, with the leader in the White House, he pretty much sits back and sleeps. But the dollar won't disappear from the global trade, but pricing for crucial things like oil and gold will shift to Russia, China, and the Middle East. In conclusion, the de-dollarization of the world is becoming real, and it's affecting the United States' ability to impose its will on the rest of the world. On a recent episode of Fox News, former Treasury official Monica Crowley warned of a potential economic disaster if the U.S. dollar loses its status as the world's reserve currency. And here's what she had to say. Liam, can you play cut three, please? And we're waiting to get that queued up. And it's okay, so we'll come back to that here in just a moment. So we're going to go on to the next story. So it's going to get frosty here. Pat, are you ready for that? Or
He's trying to search it out. So we had a little bit of problem.
We're having some technical problems in the booth. Okay, Linda, why don't you take this next story?
All right, let me get over to it. Okay. It's going to get frosty as Saudi Arabia has decided to work with China. Saudi Arabia's cabinet, led by King Salman, approved joining a China-led security bloc. This decision makes Saudi Arabia a dialogue partner for Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Excuse me. The organization consists of China, and you've said this before, China, Russia, India, Pakistan, and four other Central Asian nations as full members. Additionally, it has four observer states, including Iran, and nine dialogue partners, such as Saudi Arabia, Qatar, I think is how you say it, and Turkey. The headquarters is in Beijing, and China, Zhangming, I think I said that right, serves as a secretary general. Rydals? I'm not sure how you say that.
Rials.
Rials' decision takes its interests further east among Beijing's increasing influence in the Middle East. In March, China brokered a deal for Saudi Arabia and Iran to restore diplomatic relations. Beijing also submitted a 12-point plan for peace between Russia and Ukraine. The White House has not commented on the decisions. China is Saudi Arabia's largest trading partner with bilateral trade worth $87.3 billion, that's with a B, in 2021. It also closed rally of Russia in the crude oil production policy of the OPEC Plus coalition.
That would be Riyadh.
Riyadh.
And the rials is, I thought you were talking about the Iranian dollars. But in any case, we've kind of lost a couple cuts there. But I think Monica Crowley can talk about what Linda just talked about in cut five, if you could play that, Liam.
Yeah, that has to do with Saudi Arabia.
At this point now, because we're at this pivotal moment, Will, is for Saudi Arabia, who has indicated that they're open to this, to say, you know what, we're going to be open to considering other currencies to trade in oil. If that were to happen, there would be a complete implosion of the global economic system, but certainly the American economic system. And if that were to happen, you'd be looking at sky-high inflation, just raging Weimar Republic kind of inflation. If you think inflation is bad now, just wait. But more importantly, we would lose our economic dominance and we would lose our superpower status.
That's huge in what she just said about the superpower.
Yeah. I mean, this is what is happening right now. The domino has dropped.
Right. Before you get started there, I just want to say, you know, before we talked about this is going to happen, but folks, it is happening now.
Yes, yes, indeed. So I just mentioned, does it feel like the domino has dropped? It certainly has.
Yeah.
And it's going to start picking up steam. So as we continue here, China and Brazil announced that they will trade in their own currencies instead of the U.S. dollar, reducing cost and promoting bilateral trade. So they say, this deal will allow direct exchange between the yuan and the rials, bypassing the greenback. China is Brazil's largest trading partner with a record $150 billion in bilateral trade last year.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes.
Well, okay, the next headline, while the U.S. is focused on bickering about the gender of mass shooters, China is making inroads toward dominating the United States. China is working to rally powerful countries against the dollar, and they're doing a pretty good job of it, I would say, if you're paying attention to what's going on with the other countries. This month, China tried to broker a ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine, but the U.S. and its Western allies shut it down, with the U.S. declaring that peace would be unacceptable. That didn't set well with many countries. China has also been brokering peace deals between countries, including an historic argument between Iran and Saudi Arabia. They are also making moves to end reliance on the U.S. dollar in energy trade. Sorry, folks. China and France.
No, you got the wrong story. You got it mixed up.
Top
of page 3.
It is. The U.S. dollar is the U.S.
dollar in
energy trades.
Right, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm going, wait a minute.
Yep.
All right, here we go. The U.S. dollar in energy trades. China and France conducted an LNG trade in China. Yen in Brazil and China are now transacting in the yen. Is that how you say it? Yuan?
Yes.
And
reals.
And reals, respectively. The BRICS Economic Alliance, which presents 42% of the world's population, is also working towards untangling them from the U.S. dollar. They launched the New Development Bank in 2014 as an alternative to the World Bank and IMF. Imagine that. And they're considering offering membership to other countries. So while the U.S. is distracted, China is making significant moves towards world dominance. What do you think about this? You can call us or leave something in the chat, you know, about what is going on. So sadly, let's listen to what Glenn Beck have to say about this. Would you please play cut 6, please?
The fundamental transformation that started in 2008 is finished. We are no longer viewed as a superpower. We are now an elderly, we're Joe Biden just walking into the twilight.
Boy, isn't that a...
That's a terrible picture, you know, but that's a terrible picture. We're like Joe Biden in the twilight zone.
These countries are thumbing their nose at us. This would have never happened with the previous administration. So moving right along here, it's no surprise that events are happening to get our attention off of what is really happening to our financial system. It's by design. Hey, look over here so you're not looking
right
over there. These next three clips explain how screwed we are with the de-dollarization process. This first clip is from Dr. Peter Saint-Ong from France's, about France's purchase of the natural gas. Let's just put it that way, from China. G7 countries are now turning away from the U.S. And can you play cut 7, please?
Hey, guys. The other day I did a video warning that de-dollarization could be coming. Today we got news that France cut a deal to buy 65,000 tons of natural gas from China denominated in yuan. This is a big deal. 6 weeks ago, it was just pariah nations like Iran or Russia trying to de-dollarize their trade. Last week it was Brazil, now it's France. So what happens next? What if the US dollar is about to be dethroned as the world's reserve currency? De-dollarization means foreigners don't need as many dollars. This means there are extra dollars nobody wants. This makes the price of the dollar fall. It gets weaker. That's usually slow at first, and then it picks up speed if it keeps going, a progressive rush for the exits. Note, we Americans are obligated to use the U.S. dollar thanks to an obscure law passed in 1862 as a wartime emergency that somehow managed to survive for 151 years now. So Americans have no choice. Unless you have gold or Bitcoin, you go down with that ship.
Isn't it interesting how he mentions gold and silver in that clip? And I would say he should add Bitcoin as well, but of course that's not financial advice.
No, we're never given financial advice. Education.
Yeah, exactly. In this next clip, Dr. Ong speaks about the effects of capital outflows and how that affects our stock funds, pension plans, and 401ks. If you could play cut 8, please.
Now, a falling dollar drives up the price of everything that comes into America, but it also drives up the price of anything traded on world markets. So that's the raw materials, the imported components that drive American factories and sustain American consumers. First to jump would be gasoline, heating fuel, food prices, all of these are world markets. They're very liquid. Along with prescription drugs, since China has a creeping stranglehold thanks to our idiotic overregulation. Indeed, this is more or less true for every consumer product that China dominates. We shot ourselves in the foot. Now it's coming back to bite us. Next, those jumps in trading commodities and input prices pour out through the supply chains. They yank up prices in industry after industry. So cars, construction materials like steel or concrete, clothes, furniture, TVs, computers, medical devices. Gone are the days of affordable luxuries. Now you got to work for it. And that's when the main event begins, capital flows. If foreigners get nervous, they sell not only dollars, they sell assets denominated in dollars.
Yes, they do.
And did you hear that part? You got to work for your TV.
You have
to
really
work for these things. We just can't take them for granted. So the Fed has a couple of moves left. And so Dr. Ong concludes with this last cut. And if you could play cut 9, please.
Starting with the most liquid, stocks, bonds, treasuries. These are very easy to trade. IBM stock takes you about a minute to trade compared to a Taiwanese factory in Wisconsin. So the liquid assets go first. Now, about 40% of American stocks are owned by foreigners and one-third of corporate bonds. If foreigners start fleeing, both plunge. This could cut your 401k almost in half. It could drive up borrowing costs for companies to impossible levels. That would lead to mass bankruptcies on top of the wave of bankruptcies the Fed is already engineering to try and stop the inflation it started. It doesn't stop there. One-third of U.S. treasuries are owned by foreigners. That's over $8 trillion in bonds. If foreigners start dumping those, it will either send U.S. government debt service soaring by potentially hundreds of billions of dollars a year. That all has to be deficit funded. Or, much more likely, the Fed simply steps in and replaces all of that foreign demand, which would flip inflation overnight back to the march into double digits. Losing reserve currency status would savage the American economy. It would savage the American people. No country needs reserve currency status. After all, it doesn't benefit the people. But like climbing a cliffside with no gear, once you go halfway, you better not let go.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
That's a scary thought.
The end of the U.S. hegemony does not look good. We're in what they call a fourth turning. And Linda and I are going to talk about the fourth turning, which is the crisis cycle. And they don't end well. We'll talk more about that next week. Will we go to a CBDC or a FedNow system, or will there be a war or both? Who knows? Here is Glenn Beck's take on it. And if you could play cut 10.
What people think, what you think, because you're getting the garbage from television. What you think is coming is a recession. What your crazy friends might say to you is coming is maybe a depression. You'd be mistaken. Those are lies. What is coming is a collapse of the dollar. You haven't had one of those. We've never experienced the collapse of the dollar, of the world's reserve currency. This will make us Venezuela. Make no mistake. If you want to be prepared, prepare yourself like people should have prepared in Venezuela. Soon, I don't know when, but it will happen overnight. Soon, everything will be collapsing, and the banks will close, and there will be chaos, and everyone on radio and television and the internet will be telling you, we have to do central banks. We have to do digital currency from the central. Do not believe that. The collapse is caused by the idiocy of the people who are now telling you, A, we're fine, it's stable, and B, that's a conspiracy theory that we're doing a central bank digital currency. They're lying to you, and they're the ones who caused it. So please stop listening to the experts.
We could not agree more with Glenn on that. And
that's for sure.
Stand tall, my friends. Stand tall, stand strong. Don't fall for it.
And with that, we're going to take a break, and we will pick up the news on the other side of this. You've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. See you in three.
While the government we need became the power that we're fearing. Our billionaires are going to space, don't blame them for leaving. Birds are falling out the air, fish washing up on our beaches. This is end times, humans got a deadline. Children are the future till we ruin them with headlines. Should be past their bedtime, but everyone's woke. They told us chase a dollar that made everyone broke. I feel like cryptocurrency is probably our last financial hope. Soon enough, the government will leave your bank account froze. Judgment day is coming, you can run or you can stand and fight. Panic in the dark or lead rebellions by the candlelight. This ain't your granddaddy's planet Earth.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Betsy has a scratch.
Who has a what?
Betsy, my car. She has a big old scratch on her side. Honey, I've had her since college.
I know, honey. Take her to Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. It's going to be okay. Remember, that's where you told me to take my car because they do minor and major auto body repair and full paint jobs. And it looks like she could use one.
Crossroads Auto Body Repair.
You know they do free estimates. Call 530-226-0992. Write it down.
Got it. 530-226-0992.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR, 1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
Crypto's a real life. Fiat is fantasy. Transactions verify. Shady banker activity. Open source lines. All decentralized to see. I'm just a poor chase. And we'll all change to see. Because bull markets come, bull markets go. Huddle high.
And welcome back. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. And before we went to break, we were going through the news cycle. And lots of it, that's for sure. I mean, it just is crazy.
Yes.
So I'm just going to add some more to the craziness going on here. All right. So J.P. Morgan Chase is set to pilot a new payment technology that could see customers pay for their goods with just their face or palm. Following a similar approach in China. If the pilot program goes well, the bank plans to roll out the service to its U.S. clients. But is this new wave of biometric payments something that we should be concerned about? I mean, it kind of bothers me. Does it bother you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stick your face or your palm up there and everything's good, right? Mm. Biometric technology uses unique body measurements to authenticate a person's identity and is being pushed by corporations as the default payment with the method worldwide. But how does this work? Customers can enroll their palm or face through an in-store process, and then at checkout, they simply scan their face or palm to complete this transaction. This is really scary. Do you know it's kind of like the ID Me now that they have on the government website that you have to do?
Yeah, and I think that they were rolling out the test part of this is when you had to go scan your face to check your temperature. They were checking to see if this worked.
What were they doing
with those pictures? They were taking pictures.
Yeah, I didn't think of that quite like that, but you are right, my friend.
Don't worry about the conspiracy in me.
Don't worry about it.
I'm just asking.
Don't worry about it.
That's right.
The head of Omnichannel Solutions for J.P. Morgan's payments business believes that the merchants need to be ready to adapt to these new expectations. Yeah, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Just, we have your best interest. It'll be okay.
Yes, you're going to buy all of this new scanning equipment, and you're going to love it.
Yeah. The pilot program may include a Formula One race in Miami, as well as some brick-and-mortar stores. The chief information officer for Formula One, Crypto.com, Miami Grand Prix, said that being able to roll out this new biometrics-based payment scheme would enhance the race day experience for our guests as they will enjoy a new, faster checkout process.
Got to keep an eye on all of those right-wingers that go to the races and be able to point them out in the crowd. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to do that just so I can get through there faster, right?
You know how the deplorables love races.
That's very true because that's all American, like American apple pie, you know what I mean?
Right.
But is the technology safe? China has become a global leader in the implementation of the biometric recognition payment technology, with the payment method transforming the way millions of people conduct transactions daily. However, the Chinese government, the CCP, has played a crucial role in the widespread adoption of facial recognition payments. Excuse me. That's not all they use it for. Enter the social credit system.
Mm-hmm.
And is this the future of payments? Should we be concerned about the privacy implications? Yeah, let me know your thoughts. I know my thoughts on this is, yeah, definitely. This really bothers me.
Oh, yeah.
And if you remember back when COVID first started, they started implementing the face things at like Home Depot.
Oh, right. Yeah. Check your temperature. Yeah. What were they doing with all that information?
Because when you check out at Home Depot, you know you're on screen now.
Yeah.
Scary.
What a great way to take advantage of a crisis, right? So shifting gears, Sam the man, he's back in the news.
Imagine that.
You know Sam Bankman-Fried, also known as SBF, the former CEO of FTX? Well, reportedly, he borrowed the money from Alameda and gave it to his father through a tax-free gift, which is now being used to pay for his defense. So, okay, this is getting good. Bankman-Fried's parents used their multi-million-dollar property to secure his $250 million bail package. They seem like a close-knit family, don't they?
Yeah, that said, I forgot that piece.
Despite claiming to have only $100,000 after the FTX collapse, the mystery is solved as to how he's been able to pay for his legal counsel. His hired lawyers who represented Ghislaine Maxwell and his legal bills are expected to reach millions of dollars. Yeah, you need someone really good, one who's connected.
Yeah.
Bankman-Fried attempted to use his Robinhood shares to pay for his bills, but they were seized by the Department of Justice for potential misuse of FTX customer
Shucky
funds.
Shucky darns. I mean, really?
He also asked to use his FTX insurance policy, but the new management has refused. Nice to know the insurance company is being prudent.
All right, and so there's more on SBF. He has been charged with allegedly paying $40 million in bribes to one or more Chinese government officials. Really? Is this surprising? No, not good old Sammy boy. According to an indictment unsealed on Tuesday, federal prosecutors have charged Bankman-Fried with directing money to Chinese authorities to unfreeze more than $1 billion in accounts from his hedge fund, Alameda Research. Oh, but he doesn't know anything. The alleged bribe payment was sent around November of 2021, and after that, the accounts were unfrozen. And as the indictment obtained by Reuters states, Bankman-Fried is now facing 13 charges, including ones related to money laundering and wire fraud. I feel so sorry for poor Sammy.
Poor Sam.
Yeah, that's so terrible.
He can sit there with Doquan. Well, moving right along, the Bitcoin white paper makes its F1 racing debut on the Kraken-sponsored car. The Williams Racing F1 team is using a Bitcoin excerpt from the white paper to help promote their sponsorship deal with the United States-based crypto exchange Kraken. The team is currently practicing in Melbourne for the next Formula One event, which is scheduled for April the 2nd. What were you going to say?
Today.
Yes. Fast forward.
Yeah.
Okay. The sponsorship deal marks one of the first times a crypto company has sponsored an F1 team.
All right. With the collapse of existing currencies, the idea of a central bank digital currency, CBDC, is gaining traction around the world. But there are a number of reasons why this type of currency is likely to have little impact on the financial inclusion, such as a lack of trust in digital system and concerns about data privacy, which are also major roadblocks to the adoption of traditional forms of currency. In short, CBDCs are unlikely to promote financial inclusion on their own and would likely only serve to widen the divide between the wealthy and the poor in societies around the world. Listeners, you know, our current financial system is a Ponzi scheme. Here's what Charles Hodgkinson, founder of Cardano, has his take on it. Could you play cut 11 for me, please?
You see, the banking system in general is falling apart. And it's falling apart predictably so because it's always been a Ponzi scheme. Things that seem permanent and stable, they change quickly. And it's something that people don't want to admit, but then after the fact, they say, oh, that was obvious. You have this business where you take other people's money, and then you use that to multiply and create money out of thin air, give it to people all around the world, and then you make windfall profits from it until people get a little shaky, in which case you socialize your losses and give those losses to society. And this is what's happened for years in the banking industry. We've witnessed the U.S. dollar lose more than 95% of its value over the last 100 years.
Oh, sing it, Charles.
Yeah. So how can the government maintain control if they don't move to CBDCs? Here is a humorous clip that explains how the Ponzi scheme has bankrupted each country. Play cut 12, please.
Good. And what do you do, Roger?
I'm a financial consultant.
Okay, Roger, your special subject tonight is the economies of the European Community. Mm. Your time starts now. Best of luck.
Thank you.
How much does Greece owe, Roger?
$367 billion.
Correct. And who do they owe it to?
Mostly to the other European economies.
Correct. How much does Ireland owe?
$865 billion.
Correct. And who do they owe it to?
Other European economies, mostly.
Correct. How much does Spain and Italy owe?
$1 trillion each.
Correct. Who to?
Mainly France, Britain and Germany.
Correct. And how are Germany, France and Britain going, Roger?
Well, they're struggling a bit, aren't they?
Correct. Why?
Because they've lent all these vast amounts of money to other European economies that can't possibly pay them back.
Correct. So what are they going to do?
They're going to have to bail them out.
Correct. Where are they getting the money to do that, Roger?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that one.
How much does Portugal owe?
Hang on a minute. What was the answer to that earlier question?
Just keep answering the questions, Roger. Where is Portugal going to get the money it owes to Germany if Germany can't get back the money that it lent to Italy?
Just a minute. What was the answer to the previous question? The question was, how can broke economies lend money to other broke economies who haven't got any money because they can't pay back the money the broke economy lent to the other broke economy and shouldn't have lent it to them in the first place because the broke economy can't pay it back?
You're wasting very valuable time. Roger, how much money does Spain owe to Italy?
$41 billion, but where are they going to get it?
Correct. What does Italy owe to Spain?
$27 billion, but they haven't got it. They're broke.
Correct. How can they pay each other if neither of them has any money?
They're going to get a bailout, aren't they?
Correct. And where's the money coming from for the bailout?
That's what I'm asking you.
Correct. Why are people selling the European currency and buying the US dollar?
Because the US economy is so much stronger than the European economy.
Correct. Why is that, Roger?
Because it's owned by China.
Correct. And very well done. And after that round, you've lost $1 million.
I think they just clearly explained what Charles Hoskinson was trying to say.
Yep.
So
there is no money.
Yeah.
We are broke.
Well, let's lighten this up just a bit before we get into the other stories here. Hopefully you've been thinking about how to leverage yourself into assets that will leverage your fiat losses, like Bitcoin, gold, silver, real estate. Of course, it's not financial advice. But don't do what this guy is going to do. And can you play cut 13, please?
A couple of these altcoins in the portfolio went through the roof. And them NFTs I got, yeah, up like 100x.
Whoa.
Thought my MetaMask wallet was going to blow the server. IYKYK. If you know, you know. That's all I'm saying. Shit. It all tanked, bro. Some whales must have swam through a rug pull on the NFTs. Market's on a downswing. ETH's dropping like a landslide. I'm hurting, baby.
Bro, that was 2 seconds ago.
You don't understand the game. It's brutal. Think you can Venmo me like $5, man? I'll get you back, I promise.
Yeah, chill, man. I got you. Jeez. That go through?
Yep. Took those $5, threw it down on a meme coin, a little gaming token I heard about on Reddit. Just did my research. Do your own research. It's not a big deal, so back to the moon. HODL on this one all day. Oh, boy. You think you can Venmo me another $5?
So you think you can give me another $5?
How much of that did we hear about a year ago?
Oh, totally, yeah.
That's all that was happening. Cheddar? Cheddar sound familiar to anybody?
Yeah, the phones were burning up, you know. Yeah. What do you think about this new coin, Cheddar? You know, should I buy? How much should I buy?
Well, you want to take this next one? We're not going to get to all of these stories, so we're going to have to pare something down here.
Okay, J.P. Morgan and the douche...
Keep it clean.
Deutsche Bank are both being sued by victims of Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking ring. Excuse me. That's right. The banks are being accused of knowingly benefiting from Epstein's crimes. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon will be deposed under oath as part of a lawsuit filed against the bank for its ties to Epstein's sex trafficking ring. The bank is trying to scapegoat a former executive, but we'll find out soon whether it goes all the way to the top.
Well, and continue on the little bit about Ghislaine.
Ghislaine Blackbook is playing out.
Is that in the play now?
Yeah. Should banks be held accountable for their ties to Epstein crimes? Let us know what you think about this.
So we're going to have to make a decision here on the fly. I'm going to shuck the next two here. And I think I'll just bring it over and top it off with our friends of Fidelity and BlackRock. And maybe you could pick it up with Jason Lowry.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Fidelity and BlackRock, the two largest financial institutions in the world with a whopping $14 trillion in assets under management, are quietly expanding into the world of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and cryptocurrency. So why is this a big deal? Well, Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are currently trading far below their all-time highs, but some influential investors believe that this could be about to change. The Bitcoin price has already added about 70% since the beginning of the year as traders brace for a potential Federal Reserve U-turn, helping the Ethereum price rally. Fidelity Investments has now opened up its crypto trading platform to its 37 million users to buy and sell Bitcoin and Ethereum commission-free. Meanwhile, BlackRock is exploring the digital assets ecosystem, especially areas most relevant to its clients, such as permission blockchains and tokenization of stocks and bonds. So what's driving this move? Some Bitcoin, Ethereum, and crypto market watchers, the projectors, are pointing to the next Bitcoin halving, which is scheduled for late April 2024, and this event will cut the flow of new Bitcoin being created by half, potentially causing the next Bitcoin price bull to run. Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, has even predicted that crypto's blockchain technology will usher in the next generation for markets after signing a major deal with Bitcoin and crypto exchange Coinbase. If Larry Fink says so, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yep.
And what is it that you always say first to... You don't go along with it.
Yep.
You deny it.
Yep. You fight it. You go to court and then you adopt it.
And then you adopt it and go
Not
along with them.
Not in that particular order, but that's what happens.
So then it's okay. All right. According to Major Jason Lowry, a member of the Space Force, Bitcoin may not be just another form of internet money, but a new weapon for cyber warfare in the 21st century. In his recent MIT master's degree thesis titled, Soft War, which has gained attention online and even snagged the top spot on Amazon's list of best-selling technology books, Lowry argues that the proof-of-work guessing game that underpins Bitcoin could be a less messy option for future power competition compared to nuclear war or killer robots. Excuse me. While the Pentagon has yet to act on the idea, Lowry's thesis offers insight into how a new generation views crypto networks as useful tools rather than gimmicks. If his proposal is any indication, their thinking is getting more creative to prevent adversaries from gaining special influence over it. Lowry suggests the U.S. stockpile Bitcoin, cultivate a domestic Bitcoin mining industry, and extend Second Amendment protections to the technology on the theory that it's a weapon of self-defense.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's cut over to another story that's breaking news. And it also ties into a project that we're working on that we're aligning with the Bitcoin Center, the Reading Bitcoin Meetup.
Yes.
And it's called the NorCal Micro Beef Initiative. And Texas Slim has agreed to come and work with us. And there will be a large event held at the Duvenborden Farms in Cottonwood. Mm-hmm. And Mark Duvenborden was very kind to offer up his property for this. But what this initiative is about, it's just not about beef. It's bringing farmers, producers, and ranchers together to support a local economy so that when things get crazy.
And they will.
You stay away from the big box companies because they're all owned by Vanguard and BlackRock and State Street and all their crazy nonsense that runs there, and work within our local economy. And here's the reason why, just to top it off, is that there's a bill running right through Missouri House 1169, and it's talking about vaccines in the food. Now, we've been talking about this for quite a while.
Yeah, we have talked about this a couple of times, but we didn't have any real proof that they were moving forward with it.
Well, they're going to run the potential gene therapy product, the mRNA, through the vaccination of animals. And this is why it is so important. If you do not want a vaccination, you don't want to be getting it through a secondary route through your animals that you're eating.
Well, yeah.
Or your plants.
Right. We're fighting the government on the mandates for vaccines, and we think we're in safe zone, so to speak, you know, that we've made it home, but no, you haven't made it home at all.
No, you haven't. So we're going to talk more about the Beef Initiative next week. It's going to be on June the 17th.
Yes.
It's a Saturday at Dubenborden Farms, and we will talk more about that.
And giving
week.
You the contact yes. information and all of that. We
Absolutely.
Stay tuned on that.
Yes.
But not just the beef, like you said. Plants and everything else.
Yes.
We've got articles on that that maybe we can hit
it's called
in the
edible vaccines in the Scientific American magazine. You know, I'm misreading the time here. It looks like we have a little bit more time.
Yes.
Yeah. So we
okay,
can
with the edible vaccine
this,
stuff
yes.
is really bothering me. I mean, we talked about it before the show. How, you know, I kind of went to vegan there for a while. I'm not saying it's good for everybody. My point being in the story is, you know, we thought we were safe and doing the right thing and changing our eating habits. Now we have to worry about whether it's the beef or the plants or whatever. We have to worry about getting, you know, zapped and getting these chemicals in our food. And like you alluded to, it's time that we know our neighbors and who yeah. has what. In our community.
Well, there's one producer here locally, and hopefully they'll be kind enough to come on the show.
I'm sure they will.
Reaching out to them. And what they do is their cattle is grass-fed. Now, they do a grain finish, but it is a non-GMO proprietary grain that they finish their cows off on. It's like the last 3 months of their life to just, you know, give them a different flavor. You know, some people are not fond of the grass-fed, grass-finished taste.
It does taste differently.
But the whole notion is non-GMO, like you were alluding to with the vegan diet. So even if you are a vegan and you're eating plant-based, you are not protected from the non-GMO influence in the foods that you're eating, because many of those non-GMO ingredients can be labeled as organic.
Yeah, they don't, it's something like 90% or
yes,
something along that line.
And
yeah.
And these are manufactured to allow glycophosphate, for those plants to be immune to glycophosphate, which whether you are eating organic plants or not, when they do the flyby, on the non and fertilize the fields that are non-organic, there's blow by. It's
right.
just blowing onto the other field. Just living in the Bay Area, we watch this happen all the time. We lived out near Oakley, and you could see the planes coming in, dusting the crops, and then with all the wind that was picking up, how could that have not moved
right.
the other crops? Very easy.
And another disturbing piece of this is, you know, we think that we're moving to eating healthier. They're trying to get more people over to the plants and stuff. And again, we get the same people like Bill Gates and them that are messing with our food, whether they're, you know, flying over us spraying or whatever, like you're saying, you know.
Yeah.
They're trying to get us one way or another. They got people to move over to that site a little bit more. Again, while we were busy thinking we're doing the good things, look what happened.
Well, and it's different if you're pulling things out of your garden, and we're going to be coming up here. You got to
yeah.
look at everything that is your good vegan food is still highly processed. Just take a look at the labels. Look at all of the oils, the linoleic, the safflowers, the sunflower oils, all of those things in there. We'll get to that another
time.
And let's finish it up with Mr. Robert Breedlove. And we'll see you guys next week.
Next week, recorded a session. And have a happy Easter.
Yes.
And as a great man once said, the government which governs best governs least. So in this very critical type of property we call money, the most important form of property in the world, this is another way to look at Bitcoin and the importance of Bitcoin. Bitcoin, very simply, is the government that governs least. It just gives you strong property in your money, and that's it.
Now climb aboard, y'all. This train is bound for glory. And there's plenty of room for all.
Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. Oh, Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain. Oh, Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain, gonna rain. Till everybody knows, till everybody knows your name.
Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.